The riches that truly last. The riches that truly last. Our two readings this morning, which are the lectionary readings for today, from Paul's letter to Timothy, and I like that one, and from Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Both passages speak with one voice. They remind us that wealth, status, and possession may impress on earth, but before God, the true measure of a life is not what we own, but what owns us. Not what we own, but what or who owns us. So this morning, I would like us to reflect on the riches that truly last. To do this, we'll look briefly at four things. The first one being developing contentment. The second point being guarding against the love of money. Fourth, practicing generosity. And the last one being embracing an eternal perspective. Shall we go over those 4 points again? What's the first one? Developing contentment. Second one, guarding against the love of money. What's the first one? Second one? Okay. The third one, practicing generosity. The fourth being embracing an eternal perspective. What are the third and fourth ones? And the fourth one, embracing an eternal perspective. I mean, it's a good idea to take notes. If I have a habit of when I come to church or go to other churches, I always try to write, just because maybe, unlike many of you with photographic memory, I rather write and then just go over my notes later. Otherwise, sometimes we forget these things. So we could always make that a habit as well, if that's your preferred way of remembering things. Now, to the first point, developing contentment. Many people have heard of John D. Rockefeller. He used to be one of the wealthiest people in the world, an American. Rockefeller was once asked, how much money is enough? And he answers, just a little bit more. Even though he was probably the richest man on earth then, but for him, just a little bit more will be what's enough. So essentially, it's never enough. A little bit more, a little bit more. And I think many of us can relate to that line of thought. We may not say it, we may not articulate it, but subconsciously, that's the way we think. If I can just have a little bit more money or more time or more recognition or more possessions, then I will be fine. Yet Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you see that in our Bible? It's a godliness with contentment is great gain. And by contentment, he wasn't talking about complacency. He wasn't saying, don't be ambitious or don't get up and work. Or he wasn't saying, don't improve your lot in life. He wasn't saying any of those things. What Paul meant was that we need to learn to rest in God's provision. To learn to say, thank you, God, for what I have. For what I am, but above all, you are enough for me, whether I have much or little. That is the root of contentment. Jesus' parable in Luke 16 paints a vivid picture of a man who lived in luxury. He was clothed in fine linen, he was feasting every day, but at his gate was a poor man named Lazarus who was covered in sores, longing for breadcrumbs. Both men died, but their destinies were reversed. We heard that Lazarus was carried into eternal comfort, but the rich man found himself in agony. The lesson here is about our attitude towards wealth and how we use it and how it could carry eternal weight. And when we talk about wealth, I mean, normally, immediately we think about money, but trust me, wealth isn't only about money. Yes, money is financial wealth, but there's also social and relational wealth. And a lot of people may not have loads of money, but the depth of their connection is just unbelievable. There's also time wealth. Time wealth is something that many people have in abundance. Why many of us struggle in London to carve out time, there's some people with the freedom and liberty to be anywhere they want. You may not think about that as wealth, but it is wealth, time wealth. There's also physical and mental wealth. The gift of health. You're strong, you are sane, you are able, and many times we don't often think about that. But that is real wealth. There are so many people with loads of money in their bank accounts, but they cannot get up and even write their check, and even sign their checkbook. And if you genuinely ask them, they will say, I'd rather, let go of everything I have just to be able to walk down to my local shop again. So look at the person sitting next to you and say, this message is for you. And the reason why I say that is that we are all rich. If you walked up here this morning and you didn't need anyone to help you put your clothes on, you put on your shoes by yourself, you are rich. If you're here this morning and you can afford to sit down for the next 1.5 hours, on a bright day, although it's looking a bit, it's changed since I last checked, but you can afford not to walk and be here now to spare these 1.5 hours, maybe 2 hours. You are rich relative to a lot of people in our world. We are all rich in some form. If you can understand what I'm talking about, you have the sanity, the presence of mind to be able to understand my accent, to decode what I am saying. You are rich. We all rich in some form. So this message isn't just for the tech billionaires in Silicon Valley. This talk is for all of us. I am rich. You are rich. Look at that person again. Say to them, you rich, and this message is for you. Say, Some of you are laughing, but you are rich. And I want us to own it. The thought that we don't have enough to give is what stands in the way of our generosity for a lot of us. Charles Spurgeon once said, it's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. It takes practice to learn to enjoy what we have. I mean, we first have to acknowledge it. And that's what I'm trying to get us to do this morning. Time is wealth. Health is wealth. Yes, money in your bank account is wealth, but it's not the only thing. Your social connections, is wealth. The fact that you can call up someone if you're having a bad day and they will come, they will actually respond, is wealth. Many people cannot afford that, or they do not have the social capital. And it takes practice to acknowledge those things as wealth, to be grateful for them, to be happy for them, to thank God for those things and see them for what they are. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There is a popular statement that Jesus made in the gospel. He said, those who have, more will be given. For those who don't, even that which they have will be taken from them. Those who have, more will be given. Because if you think you have, you will acknowledge it. And you can walk with confidence. Because the truth is, we all have. It's just that some are better at acknowledging what they have. Because only what we have, that we can be grateful and that we can be willing to share. We need to acknowledge first. You get what I mean? Time is wealth. Yes, money is wealth. But relationship is wealth. Ikem was here earlier, and we all applauded him for looking after the quads. A lot of our young people, they didn't have money, they had time, and they supported the family. Wasn't that just wonderful? Because a lot of them, they had the time they would rather spend on their iPad or tablet. We're generous enough to give that. Yes, some of us gave money to the family. Those teenagers didn't have money, but they gave their time. And I'm sure they will be blessed for it. And God is already blessing many of them for that. And I give thanks to God. When we heard about a lot of their results, and then, many of them I've now gone on to uni and how well they've done. In my heart, I said, thank God who diligently rewards those who are generous. Lazarus didn't have much. No riches, no health, no friends. So it wasn't just money he didn't have. He did not have riches. His health was terrible. He had no friends. But he had God, and that was enough. The rich man had riches, had health, had loads of friends, but he didn't think it was his duty to share what he had with others. So let me ask us this morning, to those of us who have much? Are we restless for a little bit more? Or are we willing to share? To those of us who think we have little, do we believe God is enough for us, even in our struggle? And that even if all you've got is God, we can share that. Do we all agree that prayer is wealth? And we can share that with others? Because some of us, even with our prayers, we are stingy. Let's think about that for a moment. I want to talk quickly about guarding against the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We can put that up on the slide. 1 Timothy 6:10, love of money is the root of all evil. And some people eager for more money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. Now, thank you. Paul warns us plainly, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Notice carefully, money itself is not the issue here. It is not the evil. Rather, it is the love of it, the overfixation on it. When money becomes our master instead of our servant, then there's a problem. When the hunger for more and more and more blinds us to compassion, when possessions possess us, then there is a problem. Let's think of Judas for a moment. Judas walked with Jesus, heard his teaching, saw his miracles, yet for 30 pieces of silver, for just a little bit more money, he was willing to betray his master, the Son of God. His love for money closed his eyes to the eternal treasure ahead of him. In our parable this morning, the rich man was condemned not simply for being rich. After all, in that parable, he was talking to Father Abraham, who himself was rich in the days of his, when he was here on earth. So the rich man's problem, sin, was not his success or his wealth, or his money, his financial wealth, but his selfishness and his indifference to the plight of others. And I believe last year I did a talk on indifference, you know. I'm sure that's still on the website. How choosing to look away and be indifferent to the plight of others is an issue. Financially, the rich man was rich. Socially, he had a depth of connection elsewise. As far as we know from the reading, he was fine. Time-wise, he was sorted because he had a lot of servants waiting on him. I mean, despite his wealth, day after day, he passed by Lazarus. He ignored a suffering neighbor at his gate. He could not be bothered to sacrifice a bit of money or time or attention to acknowledge the lives of Lazarus. He was too self-absorbed to sacrifice anything for anyone that wasn't like him. There is a verse in Proverbs chapter 19. That says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And talking of sacrifice, I once heard the story of a farmer, because many of us would think, well, okay, yes, if I see God, I will, of course, I'll our gift to him, but God is in the poor, in the needy. And we're not just talking about the financially needy. There are some people who are financially well off, but they struggle in other areas. And we need to let this sink in. We all have what to give. I want to use this story of a farmer to buttress what I'm saying. I heard this story of a farmer who had a cow who gave birth to two calves, one red and one white. He told his wife, "I'll dedicate one calf to the Lord. And when they've grown, we'll sell them, and the proceeds from one of them will go to God." Are you following the story? Months later, he walked in with a long face, and his wife asked him, "What's wrong, darling?" He said, "God's calf died." So one of the cows died, and yeah, that's God's calf. Do we get the story? When sacrifice comes, it's always God's portion that gets cut for many of us. So he gets to keep the one, the living one, the one that died. That's God's own. Well, it's not my fault. God's own is there. No matter what we have, it doesn't matter how little or how huge, we can always share. Our prayer could be shared, our attention could be shared, our money could be shared, our social influence or our networks, we could be generous with those things. I'm talking about the third point, practicing generosity. Paul tells us that those who are rich in this world need to learn how to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. 1 Timothy 6:18. Paul does not shame the rich. Instead, he invites us to transform wealth into a tool for eternal investment. Generosity is what bridges heaven and earth. Every act of kindness, every gift to the poor, every seed planted in God's work is a deposit into our eternal bank account. Paul calls this laying up a firm foundation for the coming age. You know, verse 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Jesus' parable about the rich man and Lazarus is a reminder that we brought nothing into this world, we'll take nothing out. But we have an opportunity to convert what God has blessed us with in this world. We have an opportunity to convert those things into eternal wealth. Let me give you an example of, you know, what I'm trying to say. Many of you will know I'm Nigerian, okay? And we spend Naira in Nigeria, right? If I bring Naira into this country, I can't spend it. Do you know that? Just like if I take pounds here to Nigeria, it's not a legal tender there. Yet there are ways that we can convert these things. You've heard of foreign exchange places where you could do that. It's the same way. Those things we do here can be converted to eternal wealth. Those things we'll share. So if I don't get to convert my pounds into Naira, for example, I can't spend that over there. It's not a legal tender. But so the Bible is telling us something similar here. We have an opportunity to convert our time, to convert our attention, to convert all the blessings that God has blessed us with here on earth into eternal wealth. And we should not wait till we're retired before we think, oh, I've got a bit of time to share with others. We shouldn't wait to win a jackpot before we see the plight of those who don't have as much as we do. Mother Teresa once said, if you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. Generosity is not about the size of our gifts, but our heart and the spirit behind our effort. We may not be able to end global poverty, but many times we can help one person. We may not be able to solve world starvation, but sometimes we can feed, we can buy, one lunch for someone. We may not be able to build a hospital, but we can make time to visit one sick friend or neighbor. Wealth is not about how much we keep. It is about how much we release, about how much we share. And that's a journey. And this journey is not just about monetary giving, like I said, but also about what we do with our time, our attention, and our influence. So the final point, embracing eternal perspective. This parable ends with a chilling scene. We saw the man, rich man, in torments, begging Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers. Abraham replies, he pretty much says they have the Bible, because he was saying they have Moses and the prophets, that is, they have the Torah and the prophets and pretty much they have the Bible. Let them listen to them. In other words, they already know God's word. They already have enough warning. So, he was saying they could not claim ignorance. Similarly, we cannot claim ignorance. God keeps speaking to us through the prophets, through Moses, through the New Testament, that we should act justly, we should love mercy, we should walk humbly with God, as Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says. God has shown us what is good and what he requires of us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. So as I conclude this talk, I want to leave you with some questions. I'm leaving all of us with these questions. How are we using our time, our talents, our treasures? Are we building barns on earth or foundations in heaven? Are we chasing only temporary riches but not eternal rewards? Are we deliberately converting the blessings we have here to eternal blessing? Don't forget, one day we will leave all this behind. We will leave this body. We will leave the time. We will leave the attention. We will leave the bank accounts. We will leave all the social networks. The only wealth we carry to eternity is the treasure we have stored in Christ. So as Paul reminded us, let us take hold of life that is truly life and the riches that truly last. May God bless you all. Before we